Welcome to your Sunday Reader, a joint podcast of St. Mary Parish and WorkingToBeatHell.org. Today we'll be discussing the readings for Epiphany 2007.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow. For the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah. All from Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from rivers to the ends of the earth.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Seba shall bring tribute. All kings shall pay him homage, and all nations shall serve him.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity on the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to other people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome. We're in studio today in Father Mark's office. Father Mark is our guest this week on our podcast. He may be on more often than we like to have him on, as it turns out. But anyway, does anybody have thoughts on these readings for this Epiphany this year?
Well, would you like to know a little bit about the history of Epiphany? Well, the history of Epiphany, it comes really from the Eastern Church. And in it, on that feast day of Epiphany, they would celebrate the wise men coming, the baptism of Jesus, and the wedding at Cana. All three of those scriptures would be presented, and they would use those. And then when the Western Church, when they started sharing feast days, the Western Church decided just to, on Epiphany, just to talk about the wise men. And then in most years, the Sunday after Epiphany, we hear the gospel of the baptism of Jesus, not this year, but in year C, which we're in now, the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, we hear the wedding at Cana reading. So it's just sort of interesting how the two churches have shared in the order of things like that.
So we who are in the Western Church here have split it into three feast days then, where it used to be one feast day. It celebrated all three events.
That's very interesting to look at those 3 days, you know, to look at Christ being manifested, you know, at in the manger, at his baptism, and then at the wedding at Cana, three different aspects of Christ being manifested. And I guess it kind of makes me think of how Christ has been manifested in different ways in my own life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it is. That is an interesting thing that you bring up. And also just the different, how each feast kind of represents a different way in which he's manifested. One is where the people, the wise men, come from afar and acknowledge him there. The second one, at the baptism, where you have the sky breaking open and you hear God the Father's voice coming out. And then when he begins his public ministry, where he manifests himself to the world through the miracle at the wedding of Cana, which, for those of you who don't know, that's the famous one where Jesus turns the water into wine. Any other things strike anybody here or reflection from any of today's readings?
Well, just the symbolism with the Magi, they come from the east, and the east is the direction of the rising sun, and so that of light, obviously. And it's also the direction of Christ's second coming. And so just the thought that it's in the east and lots of symbolism. And then it goes on, it's something that I've had forgotten about. It doesn't actually say there are three of them. It doesn't name them at all. That was later that the church decided to say, oh, there were three. And then they gave them three names. And I have the book here because I couldn't remember. Caspar, Melchior and Balthasar. So I've probably massacred those three names, but there you go. They've been attributed them since the 9th century. And according to this, Caspar has been depicted as a black man, symbolizing that the Messiah was to be manifested to all people, regardless of race, religion, or nationality. So there you go.
One thing that struck me from what you said, Don, when you're talking about that symbolism, is the whole light coming into the world of Jesus right there and shining in the darkness. And certainly there are a lot of people who think that we're in dark times right now and who are going through many struggles in life and that sort of a thing. And it's nice to know that in the midst of that darkness from the east, you know, there is a light coming into the world to clear away the darkness, and that Jesus, it's a reminder of Christ being with us in the darkness and being able to shine his light on that darkness as well.
I think that the concept of the east is very interesting. You know, the sun rises in the east. But also, I think if you look at many churches, you'll see that the direction of the church is always facing the east, so that as you walk into the church and go to the altar, you're walking east. And when Mass was celebrated in the old rite, the priest would be celebrating facing the east, facing always towards the light and the rising of the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, and even I think our church here at St. Mary's, if I'm not mistaken, is facing the east. And I'm horrible with directions. The only way I know that is I looked on Google Maps, but one time and had the satellite image and said, yeah, if you walk in, that would be facing east. I was just curious, as a lot of the churches also have that cruciform shape to it as well. But I think that you're right, that image of the east is a powerful image. The other thing that I like is the fact that the three wise men come bearing gifts. And it's kind of a reminder for me that even though I know there's nothing that I can give to God that isn't his, that I do have gifts and I am meant to use them for God, if not to give them to God. And you can do that in many ways. You can do that in service. You can do that by setting up a podcast even, as we're doing here. But just, I think it's a reminder that we all have gifts that we bear. And are we using those gifts? Are we bringing them before Jesus and using them for his service and to continue his mission in the world? And I think that's a good thing for reflection on this day too. And I always find that comforting to realize that while I know that Jesus did this wonderful work and achieved salvation for us, that there's something that I can contribute in the whole process of salvation, and that I have something to add that can benefit the church and the people around me.
I wonder, though, how often in our lives we get so immersed in the darkness that we forget about the gifts that have been given to us, you know. And I guess what is the question I ask or offer for reflection is, what is the one star, the one piece of light in our lives that can kind of lead us out of the darkness and back to a sense of who we are as children of God and having those gifts to share with one another?
Well, the whole concept of doing homage in our society is sort of warped. Here we almost worship all these rock stars and movie stars, and you know, what do we really know about paying honor to someone? And how, like you were saying, we offer our gifts, that's a way of honoring and doing homage to God. But I've been just thinking, you know, what are some other ways? And so that's just my thought.
Yeah, and there's many ways. I think the key is for everyone to find their own way.
Right.
What is it that I need to do in order to offer homage to God? What is it that I need to do in order to bring gifts before God and at service of God and not of myself or my own self-interest?
And I think the challenge of the gospel is that, and especially in our world today, is to find those gifts as unique as they are and offer them, because a lot of times we're into mimicking and following someone else versus trying to cultivate our gift and offer it in the best unique way that we can. And there is a lot of value and merit to offering what we have that's unique to us.
And if we believe that Christ is in each one of us, if we value other humans, no matter how much they annoy you, if you look for Christ in you, that is, I think, also honoring God and paying homage. And for me, just going outside sometimes and being outside and remembering, oh, I didn't create this place. God created it, and isn't it magnificent? And just types of praise and things like that.
And just the honoring of the creation. Excellent. Well, thank you guys for joining us this week. I thank Father Mark for letting us use his office as our mobile studio. And we'll see you next week on the Sunday Reader podcast. Have a good week.